bless you.
Aw, thank you. Okay. That hit my comfort level. P. Romano. How many of you were around in the 70s, actually listened to the 70s music? Because, P., you laughed earlier when I said this at the early service, but I never would have dreamed in my wildest imagination that at some point in my life, a truly, deeply wonderful worship music song would start with bow, bow. And I could feel my platform shoes. Thank you for increasing the scope of our worship. Oh, me. So Pastor Lanny has been talking to us this year about congregational living, and he's been helping us to make the transition from the corporate me to the corporate we, because we're trying to change our focus so that it really isn't all about me, but it really is about how I touch your life and how you touch my life. He's, in particular, the last couple of weeks, been trying to open our understanding into a new, intimate, reflective relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, helping us to step in a new place and a new type of relationship so that we become reflective and open and willing to change in our spirits. In particular, he's referenced a prayer called the Prayer of Examen. And I know that he's passed them out the last couple of weeks. How many of you have actually gotten one? Have you experimented with it yet? What's been your response? Has it been good? Digging up some stuff. Well, it's caused me to be reflective as well. I found myself before the Lord looking at my travels, my history over the last year and a half. And I felt really compelled to share some of that journey with you. One of the benefits of being in a room full of people that you know are for you and that have your back is that you can be a little bit more transparent than you might normally be somewhere else. And I've always been comfortable in the Lord being transparent with you and letting you into my life so that you can see that what God will do for one, God will do for another. And so I want to just share with you a little of my journey over the last year and see what the Lord might share with you in it. I have gone through in the past year a time where I was experiencing ongoing pain for a long season. You know, I would go to bed with it, I would sleep with it, I would wake up with it, I would go through my day with it, and then I would get home exhausted mentally and physically. Anybody who's ever had ongoing pain in your life knew that it's just a drain on your whole system. And during that process, I began to make choices that I wasn't really aware of. I began to reach the end of my day just trying to hold on to what little I had left for the day. And I began to withdraw from all the different voices that could get to my life and need something, because I felt like I didn't have a lot of excess to give. And in that process, I began to slowly but surely walk away from the practices of God that I'm used to in my life, the regular set time for Bible reading, the regular set time for reflective thinking with the Lord. Even found myself wincing a little when people would come toward me with need in the body of Christ. And this happened so gradually that I didn't recognize what was happening until I began to experience emotions of depression, discouragement, hopelessness, and even had my faith shaken just a little bit around the edges. And one day I was in my car driving and I was crying out to the Lord and I was asking him, Lord, what is going on? I'm depressed. This was not me. This was not my life. This is not who I am in the Lord. And I'm asking him, what is wrong? I'm hopeless. I'm faceless. Well, I wasn't faceless, but you know how it is when you're caught up in the emotion. And as I was driving along, one word popped into my mind, and it wasn't a word I was thinking about, so I knew it was him, and the word was malnutrition. And it was so startling. It was, I think I actually literally went, oh! Yes! Malnutrition! I'm not eating! Am I rattling? Is that it? All right. Malnutrition. Now, if any of you know anything about malnutrition, it robs the body of the proper nutrients. It messes with your hormones, your vitamins, and your minerals are deficient. Physically, you just become weak and tired. And it's hard to just struggle through to get the basics out of a day. Now, I know that we don't want to be me-oriented, but one of the things I discovered in this process was if health is going to flow from me to all of you and all the people that the Lord has put in my life that I might have influence on them, I have to be healthy. So when I'm not healthy, you don't get the overflow of my health. You get the opposite. And sometimes we don't see, we just see some things out of focus. But I have been in an office experience, not this one, where I have experienced this phenomenon, and I know some of you are going to recognize it, where someone will come into the room and they are full of angst or stress or anger, and they literally, it's like they just go through the room and everybody in the room gets this ripple effect as it hits them. And it just sort of flows into the atmosphere and it just permeates and taints the room. And then they walk out and go on their way and the whole office is left with that yuck. Now, if you don't pay attention to it and you don't know what's happening, suddenly everybody is just hostile, upset, short, frustrated about everything. I don't want to be that person. Because the opposite is also true. When we walk into a room and we're healthy, what comes with us is the grace of God. What comes with us is peace. What comes with us is encouragement. And you walk in the room and you can see the same ripple effect. And you leave and they don't even know what hit them. They don't even know what that was. But it was health. We have the potential to carry health, or the lack thereof, to everybody in our lives. And I'm talking about the cashier. Back in the old days, when my daughter was working her way through college, she was cashier at Food Lion. And I remember her telling me that, you know, all it took was one person to say a discouraging word to you, and it would just ruin your whole day. And I started noticing, and I still, to this day, notice when I go through a line at the grocery store, I'll watch my cashier, and I'll see what kind of experiences she's having. And I make a point to say something of grace and encouragement. And it's amazing. You can watch their countenance go from dead and dull to, wow, well, this isn't such a bad day after all. That's what we want to do. That's who we want to be. And we have to do that from a place of grace and health. When I was a young kid, the Lord gave me a very good visual that has stuck with me all these years. I had a little girl in my Sunday school class, and I don't think I could have been more than about third grade. And every Sunday we would meet, one of the first things we would do is pray. And this little girl came from a very big family, and She shared with us one morning that she wanted Jesus to give their family some money so they would have money to go buy food so they could eat because they were all hungry. She wasn't looking at it for anything. She wasn't trying to manipulate anything. This just came right out of her heart. This was a need that they had. And it suddenly hit me, oh my goodness, my friend is poor. I didn't know she was poor. I didn't realize she was poor. And then I looked at her family after Sunday school, and I noticed that they were all on a larger scale than my family. Now, to my young eyes, and of course I was little in a beanpole, I thought, well, how can this family be hungry? They don't look hungry. And so I went home and I asked my mom, and I said, Mom, what? What is that about? They don't look like they need to eat at all. And she said, well, you know, Marilyn, there's a phenomenon that happens that you can eat the wrong food and you can show it on your frame, but you can be nutritionally starving. Really? It really stayed with me, and the Lord has used that visual over the years, and especially this last year when he spoke malnutrition. I had been trying to quiet the voices in my head that were speaking fear over my future, basically, is what it was. And in the process of trying to quiet the voices, I closed off the one avenue of hope and encouragement that I had, and that was the voice of the Lord. That was the real food. And we're going to talk about the Word today, but I want to be really clear that when I say we need to read the Word, we need to eat the Word, I'm not talking about the part where you just open it and you just read it. I know in my youth, somehow I got the impression that the Bible was magic. You read these many scriptures and it was like magic. It would change your life. But I didn't realize that you couldn't just read the Word. You had to read the Word and reflect and welcome the Lord to speak to you about the words you were reading, to show you what that would look like in your life and to help you walk it out one day at a time. That's the kind of eating I'm talking about. Father God loves to illustrate himself in nature around us. If you look in the Psalms, if you look in the Word, it's just filled with analogies and symbolism of God is like this and God is like that. And the physical body is one of those things that you can just see throughout the Bible. And I know he did it because sometimes we're just reduced to what I can see, touch, taste, and feel. And so it's a really tangible, living example of who we were formed to be and what he has hoped for us to be. For example, the human body has to have air to breathe. You have to have air. You can't do without air. Pastor Laney, would you just hold your breath? Just hold it. Just take a deep breath and hold it, and I'll let you know when you can breathe. The air that I breathed yesterday, not good enough for today. Actually, the air that I breathed a minute and a half ago, not good enough for today. Are you feeling it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can breathe. Be free. You know, sometimes we just have to have it brought down to such basic feelings. I mean, right now, some of you are breathing deep just because the thought of not having air makes you need to breathe deep. Okay, yes, okay, I've got mine. We have to breathe, and the scripture equates breathing with worship. There's so many places in the scripture. Let everything have breath, praise the Lord. It's the in and the out. It's such a visual reminder if you let it stick with you. Every time you notice yourself breathing, think, oh yeah, I'm supposed to worship. Yes, worship is like breathing. It's the presence of the Lord in and out, in and out. It has to be there for me to be healthy. I can't rest on the breathing I did last Sunday during the worship service. If I don't breathe all week until the next Sunday, I'm going to be blue. We have to practice it. One of the other things that the body needs is water. You have to have water. Even if you sit here today and you drink a gallon of spiritual water, by the end of tomorrow, if you don't drink anymore, you're going to be dehydrated. And by the way, dehydration is one of the things that accompanies malnutrition. I don't know if you knew that. In the physical body, they go hand in hand. We need to breathe and we need to drink. And in the scripture, water is represented by the Holy Spirit. So you need to drink every day because water is what clears the body of the toxins. And I don't care who you are or where you work, just moving through the day, you collect toxins. Toxic people, toxic environment, toxic problems, stress, anxiety. It's all around you. And in the natural, we drink water to flush those poisons out of our physical being. In the spirit, we drink the water of the Holy Spirit to wash the toxins out of our spirit. We have to do it, or we're unhealthy. Food. It's top of the list if we're talking about nutrition. There is an illustration that I love, and I've used it before, but it's so visual for me, and I really believe that the Lord can bring it to your mind in the season when you need it. And that is the picture of the two dogs. And I picture them on my front porch, like, you know, I'm in the South where I grew up, and you got the front porch, which you sit out on, and you sit in your chairs and you watch the world go by. But two dogs. One dog represents your nature that you inherited from Adam. We'll call that one the big yellow dog. And then you have a big, let's say, red dog, because that represents the blood of Jesus. And this dog represents the Spirit of God. And you feed one or the other. You make choices every day that feeds either your carnal nature or you feed your spiritual nature. And in the words of the Dog Whisperer, which you either love or hate, there's a pack leader. And they don't coexist together. One of them is the lead dog. And if you feed this dog, if you feed that big old yellow dog, then this dog is going to get quiet and weak and unable to respond the way you want him to respond. So you got to pick which dog you're going to feed. Going to feed the carnal nature? Or are you going to feed your spiritual nature? And the food, again, that you ate last week, spiritually, you have to have the food. You have to open the Word. And as Pastor Laney has been encouraging us, we want to engage the Lord at a level where we are reflectively offering ourselves to Him, allowing Him to speak to us, allowing Him to feed us. I have to tell you that when I was in that car, and this happened in just minutes, He spoke to me. He said malnutrition. Brrr, my brain just ran in 1,000 directions. And I knew immediately, I've got to eat. I've got to eat. I've got to eat now. And I immediately started pulling out my resources. I found my favorite worship tapes. I put them back in the car. I found my favorite teaching tapes. I put them back in the car. I started just pulling up in the Word instead of sitting there with the TV. Instead of putting on the movie, I pulled out a spiritual book that would feed my spirit. And I have to tell you, it was like a starving man sat down to a table spread for a king. And the minute I started eating, the minute I started giving myself to that with deliberation, I felt it. It hit my bloodstream. And I was like, okay, this is food. This feels good. We need to live our lives thinking, not trying not to think. And believe me, in our society, it is so easy these days not to allow yourself any moment in your day where you are reflective. You can text, you can Twitter, you can email, you can have your phone dinging you when you have emails, you can get 100 calls, you can go home and turn on your Facebook. trust me, it is so easy to fill every waking moment of your life not thinking. We have to make time to be reflective with the Lord, to pursue an intimate relationship with Him. Now, I realize that not everybody in this room had that experience last year, but it's still a fresh reminder that I'm going to eat every day. I'm going to drink every day, and I'm going to breathe every day. And I'm going to let the Lord remind me how to be healthy, how to move in health, so that when I walk into that room, I can be the messenger of peace and grace, not the harbinger of disappointment and depression. Isaiah 55:1. This is out of the Amplified Bible. I love this. It's one of those places where God is talking about food and relating it to spiritual substance. Wait and listen, everyone who is thirsty. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, buy priceless spiritual wine and milk without money and without price, simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. We live in a day and time where every entertainment costs money. Just think through it in your head. There's very, very, very few things that you don't have to pay for to be entertained. And you cannot go to the grocery store and get food if you don't have money. But bless God, we've got a home garden. And the price is self-surrender that accepts the blessing. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? That's a good question. Are you eating junk food instead of nutritional food? That little girl in my Sunday school class brought that to mind so vividly. I don't want to be the person who's eating junk food all the time and feel like I might be full. It might even appear to others that I'm full, but inside, I'm starving to death. Hearken diligently to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, the profuseness of spiritual joy. I want a fat spirit. You don't hear women say that very often. I don't care if a fat spirit makes my bottom look big in these pants. I want a fat spirit, a profuseness of spiritual joy. Incline your ear, submit, and be consent to the divine will, and come to me and hear, and your soul shall revive, and I will make an everlasting covenant or league with you, even to the sure mercies, kindness, and goodwill and compassion promised to David. He makes his food sound good. And all I have to do is surrender to the blessing to have it. One more scripture, James chapter 1, and we're going to read this out of the Message. James 1, chapter 19. Post this at all the intersections, dear friends, and lead with your ears, follow with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. God's righteousness doesn't grow from human anger. So throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener, God, landscape you with the word. Whoa, that's a good visual. Let our gardener God landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. Whoa, that sounds good. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but, letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and it sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or a woman of action, and that person will find delight and affirmation in the action. We need to look in the mirror every day. Val? Yeah. Come up here. I'm calling on Val on purpose because she has been a mirror. Molly as well and Tim as well, because we're together on a daily basis. But Val in particular, we have had a promise to one another. We have each other's back. And when we need adjustment, we look at each other. And Val has been like a mirror in my life. Now I'm going to tell of a real story that happened to me some time back. Sometimes life just gets messy and you don't realize you've been messed up by it. It just happens. Sometimes the wind is blowing in your life and before you know it, you're like this. But you don't know it. There was one particular time when Brian was out of town and I was, you know, at the house getting ready for work on my own. And if any of you are good Southern girls, you know that we are taught early on that if you want your lipstick to match your cheeks, then you use your lipstick on your cheeks. And so you put a little like this so that it matches, like that. And that's all fine and dandy if you remember to look in the mirror before you leave home. Now, one particular day, it didn't actually look like this. You know, I use a curling iron, so I had the little grandma curls. Whoop, 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 whoop. And I left home. I hadn't looked in the mirror. I rushed over to Starbucks because I was trying to get I wanted to get a little morning coffee, and so I went in, and everybody kind of did a little. And then they smiled. And I thought to myself, I must be looking all right today. So I went through the line and didn't think anything of it. But, you know, my step kind of picked up and my shoulders kind of went back, you know. And I was thinking, well, you know, because people don't usually take a second look at me. I'm not one of those girls that, you know, they see you coming and they make a double take. So it was quite an experience for me. So I came back to the office, and I was here for probably an hour, maybe even an hour and a half. And then I walked past a mirror, and just out of the corner of my eye, I caught this bright flash of pink. And I looked, and it went, oh, my goodness! Now, Tim, I don't know if you remember this.
I'm a man.
But I had been working in the office with Tim that morning for it must have been an hour and a half, and he had not said a word. And I'm telling you the truth, when I looked in the mirror and I saw what a hot mess I was, I didn't even say a word. I walked into the office and I got my best frog and I wailed on his arm. I said, how did you let me walk around like this? And he was like, I thought you were trying something new. Now, Val and I have a pact. We have each other's backs. If we come in and the zipper isn't appropriate or right, we'll fix it. And actually, it was only about a month ago or so that I came into the office, and I'd walked around for an hour and a half until Val got there again. And I had my jacket on inside out. So that I had a little mini pearl thing going on back here with the labels. And Val comes up and she says, did you realize your jacket was on inside out? Were you intending that? Now, those are physical things. But the value of being healthy and having healthy people around you is that when you walk past, they can catch your eye And I can't tell you how many times we'll be going through a tough time on something we're working on, and our minds will be revving, and one or the other of us will walk into the other space and we'll go, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. And we'll get an attitude adjustment. We do that for each other all the time. And also, Molly and Tim, we have each other's backs in the spiritual realm, so thank goodness the mirror is there. Whether I'm looking in the mirror in the morning while I'm getting dressed and before I walk out and embarrass myself, the mirror is there and I'm getting a good look. Will you adjust it for me? I'll just listen to what the Lord has to say to me here. Health is a beautiful thing. We want to be healthy. We want to look in the mirror. And
Your jacket is...
thank you! Yay! Tim, you passed! Now, see, I would have walked around the rest of the day like that. We need one another to be healthy. It is about the corporate we, but it comes down to the grass levels of me. And one of the things I've been enjoying about the direction that Pastor Lenny has been taking for some weeks now is that encouragement for us to enter that reflective, intimate relationship with the Lord. For me, I've been reading the Amplified for so long that just like that scripture you put up on the screen and we read, and it was just sort of blah, 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 blah. I know you're not supposed to blah, blah the scripture, but sometimes it just becomes like that. And you have to change something so you see it again. So I changed the version I was reading. I started reading the Message. And it was like, whoa, I had never seen it that way before. And the Lord has been just talking to me. And I'm feeling the food, and I'm feeling the health. And that's a place I want to continue. And I want to encourage all of us to make that commitment, not only to ourselves, but to one another. Are you taking in the proper nutrition? Are you allowing the Lord to be your pack leader? When you walk past the mirror, are you just glancing at it? Are you really looking into it and letting adjustments be made? We've had some homework for the past couple of weeks, and I just want to remind us of it. And again, if you were not able to pick up a prayer of examen from last week, there's some out on the stair railing that you can take with you. But we want to ask these questions. How was God present with me today? What things did he point out to me, maybe today, right now, sitting here? And how did I respond or not respond? Let's give the Lord the opportunity to work himself into the fabric of our being so that we can carry that health with us to everyone who comes into contact with us. And all God's children said, amen. Pastor, you can have it back.
I'm going to ask you for a moment of accountability, and it's to make a point. It's not to embarrass anyone. So I'll do it with your. I'll tell you when to close your eyes and raise your hands, okay? Because I want to get a sense of where we are. Marilyn has referenced some things that I think are very, very important to your personal development, and I have acknowledged to you already my confidence in your good intentions and my expectation about your good intentions. So I'm going to ask these questions. I'm going to have you, in a moment, I'm going to have you close your eyes and bow your heads, and I'm going to ask these two questions, or one question and then a statement. I'm going to ask, how many of you took a copy of the Prayer of Examen with you? And you'll raise your hands. And then I'm going to say, How many of you have failed to do it? And those of you who have failed will put your hands down. Okay? I'm not taking names. I'm looking for something. So please close your eyes. How many of you took a copy of the Prayer of Examen with you? Raise your hands. Now, among those who have raised your hands, if you have not done it, please put your hands down. That's what I thought. Thank you very much. We are full of good intentions. The majority of you have done nothing with it. You have done nothing with it because you are not accountable to anybody for it. You heard the word. You said, I need to do that. You left here intending to do it. You took the tool to do it with you, and you have not done it because you need community to hold you accountable to the place God's trying to take you. I'm going to appeal to you again, not simply to hear the word, but be doers of the word. Find somebody who wants to do it as well and do it together, because I promise you in the name of Christ Jesus himself, it will move you forward in the direction your heart wants to go. So would you please, please, for your own spiritual well-being, start to connect with folks. Just go downstairs, have some coffee, say, hey, I need to get in the game here. Is anybody else going to do this? Come here. Hold my hand. Let's talk about how we can do this together. Just get down there and make some connections. If you got some friends that you feel comfortable with, connect with them and say, look, can we try this for a few weeks? Let's just try it for a few weeks. Maybe if we can do 5 out of 7 days, maybe something revelatory will come into my life. All right. We have a word for Alexia Hernandez and a name. And the name is? Mercedes. Is Mercedes here? Mercedes is here. Okay, good. Alrighty. So if y'all could come up here, apparently God sent you a fax, and we want to make sure you get it before you go. All right, let me ask you to stand. I'm going to turn you loose. They're snacking and yakking downstairs. Let me rephrase that. All rise. I'm serious. Engage with the Lord. Grab a partner and move forward. Father, I pray that as we sit in the presence of the Lord and hear the word, may we be like the household of Cornelius. We are all gathered in the presence of the Lord and want you to tell us everything the Lord has commanded you. And then let our hearts be as responsive as those Gentiles who were even then only partial believers. I ask that you would reconnect us to one another by your Spirit and to your purposes by your Spirit, that we might walk forward into greater depths of your Spirit and experience the fulfillment of the destiny to which we have each been appointed. I ask for your grace to attend us, and I pray that you will move us forward as a household of faith into the things you have in store for us. Let us not finish our race and come into your presence and discover there were things for us here that we never asked you for. Turn our hearts, I pray again, towards your intimate purposes for our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Our first-time guests, the kiosk room is off to the left. Those of you who need to come to the altar, it's open. Snacking and yakking is downstairs. You're dismissed.